When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. The gospel that was just read clearly tells us that exactly 8 days after our Lord was born in Bethlehem, he was circumcised and given officially the name Jesus. I'm willing to be corrected, but I think that today's gospel is the shortest gospel of the whole year. The shortest gospel, I think, occurs on the first day of the year. Carefully following this biblical tradition every year on January 1st, on the 8th day of Christmas, Holy Mother Church celebrates the Feast of the Circumcision. Now, some people might say that it is ridiculous to celebrate our Lord's circumcision. And in modern days, you can see where this has fallen out of favor with certain groups of people. They don't talk about our Lord's circumcision or even call this feast the Feast of the Circumcision. But today's feast is very significant in the life of the church. As you know, circumcision was a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham, and it took place on the 8th day. Take a look at Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 and verse 12. God said to Abraham, "This is how you shall keep my covenant between myself and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Every male among you, when he is 8 days old, shall be circumcised." So says the book of Genesis. The mark of circumcision set the Israelite people apart from other people. Thus it made them holy, because that's what the word holy means, right? Agios in the Greek, to be set apart. It made them set apart. It made them the chosen people. With circumcision, the Israelite belonged totally to God. Now, of course, our blessed Lord had no need to be circumcised. He is already God and totally belongs to his Father and to the Holy Spirit. Yet 8 days after his birth, in obedience to the law, Jesus is circumcised. Notice once again how Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are obedient to Old Testament laws. For Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Circumcision was originally performed by the father of the family acting as the quasi-priest in his family. And so perhaps Joseph himself performed this ritual. But the Bible is not clear. What we know for certain is that today, 8 days after our Lord and Savior was born, what we know for certain is that he sheds his blood for the first time. 33 years later, the full measure of his blood will flow. But today, 8 days, only 8 days after his birth, he sheds his blood for the first time. You know, every morning and evening, a Jewish priest went up to the temple to offer a sacrifice for the whole Israelite nation. He offered a male, year-old, unblemished lamb. With the morning and evening offering, he always burned incense, which was not optional. If you didn't like incense, it didn't matter. He still had to burn incense so that the sacrifices might go up to God wrapped in an envelope of sweet-smelling incense. But think of this. The circumcision of our Lord is his first offering of blood. It was his morning offering as a priest. Later, his evening offering as a priest would follow at the end of his life at the 3 o'clock hour, offering up the last drop of blood to save us from our sins. According to our good friend, the venerable Archbishop Fong Qin, he says there are 7 sheddings of blood of our Lord and Savior. You probably can name them all for the Holy Cotton: his circumcision, his agony in the garden. Remember when his sweat turned to drops of blood. The scourging of the pillar, the crowning of thorns, the way of the cross, the crucifixion, and finally, the piercing of his most sacred heart. So says the venerable Archbishop Fong Qin, the 7 sheddings of blood of our Lord and Savior. The first shedding of his precious blood at his circumcision would have been sufficient to save the world. Right? That one little drop of precious blood at the circumcision, that would have been sufficient to save the world. But Jesus is the best of lovers. And true lovers want to give everything. Our Lord didn't want to just give us a drop of his precious blood to save us. He wanted to give all of his precious blood to save us. And when he sheds the first drop of his most precious blood to save us, he is given the name Jesus, which means Savior. The connection here couldn't be any clearer. He will save us by the shedding of his blood. Think of it. Little baby Jesus is only 8 days old, and he's already shedding his blood for me and for you. And of course, as you can imagine, there's a beautiful Marian dimension to the shedding of blood, right? Very Marian dimension. First of all, the blood of Jesus shed at his circumcision is the very same blood which today will be in our chalice. And it is this precious blood that he shed at his circumcision that is will be in our chalice on the altar that he received in his human nature from the Blessed Virgin Mary. Think of it. Our Blessed Mother gave little baby Jesus her blood in the womb. And in the womb for 9 months, our Blessed Mother said, "My son, this is my blood. This is my blood, which he took unto himself." You can see this Marian element. And if I can continue, on both occasions, Mary stood near. It was Mary who stood by Jesus when he shed his first drop of blood, and she will stand by him as he shed his last. Mary stood by Jesus during his first moment of pain and agony at the circumcision, she will stand by him on Mount Calvary in his last hours of pain and agony. And our friend, the Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen, says the same thing. He said, it is Jesus who is carried in Mary's arms to his first Calvary, the circumcision, and many years later, he will be placed in her tender arms again after his last Calvary, when he was taken down from the cross. In both the first and the last sheddings of blood, Mary holds the precious body and blood of Jesus. Oh yes, there is a Marian element to this feast day. As we begin the first hours of this new year of our Lord and Savior, 2017, let us begin this new year with the circumcising of our hearts. The circumcising of our hearts by cutting out what is sinful, what is not of God. Listen to our friend St. Ambrose. He who has been circumcised of every vice will be judged worthy of the Lord's attention. See how all the events which followed one another in the Old Testament prefigured what was to happen later? For the circumcision also represents purification from sins. So says St. Ambrose. In the Old Testament, the prophets reminded the people if the outward rite of circumcision was to have any significance, it must be accompanied by a circumcision of heart. This is all over the Bible. Moses spoke of circumcising the heart. Take a look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts, that you may love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The prophet Jeremiah uses the same expression in Jeremiah 9, verses 25 to 26. For all these nations, like the whole house of Israel, are uncircumcised in heart. The prophet Ezekiel in chapter 44, verse 7 says, you have admitted foreigners uncircumcised both in heart and in flesh to my sanctuary to profane it. St. Stephen, whose feast we just celebrated the day after Christmas, in his last address before being martyred, told his listeners that they were uncircumcised in their heart and ears. Acts 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are always opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your father did before you. St. Paul talks about this circumcision in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 to 29. True circumcision is not a sign in the flesh. He is a real Jew who is one inwardly, and true circumcision is of the heart. He says the same thing in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. You are also circumcised with him, not with the circumcision administered by hand, but by Christ's circumcision, which strips off the carnal body. Okay, hopefully I've made my point. Real circumcision, true circumcision, the Bible says over and over again, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is of the heart. So let us begin this new year of grace, this new year of our Lord and Savior 2017, by circumcising our hearts, by cutting out what is sinful, what is not of God. Let us submit out of obedience to the spiritual knife. It will be a painful painful process. But not to worry. Our Blessed Mother will be standing by, ready to help us. There she will be, our Blessed Mother, holding us, taking good care of us, holding our hearts, allowing them to be pierced by the Lord, so that we can be a people, a nation, who are circumcised in our hearts. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sanctus.